Well, good morning again. It is great to be here. I think it's my third time here. So, yeah, we're excited to be back. My wife and I love driving up here, and it's always fun to get to be able to share and bring God's Word to you this morning. The last time I was here, we began in 1 Peter in those opening sections, and this morning, as well as over these next few times over the summer, I'll be here, I think, twice in July and once in August. We're going to continue looking into 1 Peter. This morning, we're going to look at the second half of chapter 1. If you remember, Peter addresses his letter to those Christians who are spread out across Asia Minor, instructing them to live in the gospel. He instructs them how they are to live as a pilgrim people, as exiles in this world that is so often hostile to the Christian faith. And before we begin, I want us to recall the reason why Peter writes his letter. And we see this in the final chapter, in chapter 5, verse 12, as Peter says this: "I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it." Peter concludes his letter here by declaring that what he's written centers on the grace of God, and he calls us to stand firm in it. If you remember the first half of chapter 1, we looked at how the resurrection is central to the Christian faith. Peter calls us to take hold of the hope we have because of the resurrection, that because of God's grace, we are born again into a hope that is lasting, that even amidst our suffering and placed in the world as exiles, that as Christians, we have a lasting and imperishable hope that is found only in the gospel, that we are kept and guarded by the God who's redeemed us in Christ. This morning, like I said, we're going to be turning our attention to the second half of 1 Peter 1, and we'll focus on verses 13 to 25. So again, this is 1 Peter 13 through 25. If you have your Bible, you can join along, and I will read it for us this morning. So this is God's Word. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." This is God's word. This morning, I want us to look at three points as they relate to the text, specifically as they relate to the idea and concept of holiness. And what I want to do is connect this idea of holiness as it's played out in the Christian life, as it relates to who we are as Christians. For as we see in the text, the call and command for us as Christians is to be holy. And this call has implications and ramifications for all of life. For as Christians, this call and command is not relegated to certain aspects or parts of life, but it's connected to all of life because it's connected to who God is. For us this morning, the hope is that we not only see the who and what we're supposed to be, but by the Spirit, we also see how what is required of us and what is required of us is worked out and brought about in us. That we don't just see the standard of what God requires of us, but that we see how God brings about in us the change that is only possible through divine grace. So the points of reflection this morning are going to be, first, the call to holiness. Number two, the application of holiness. And three, the effects of holiness. So the call, the application, and the effects of holiness. The calling Peter gives to us is to live as a new people because of what Christ has accomplished for us. That we are to be a new people, not bound by our former ways as we lived outside of Christ, but a new and holy people. A new people changed and remade, not by what is perishing in this world, but by that which is imperishable. The promise God makes to us in the gospel. So the first point, the call to holiness.